Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm so excited to be bringing you our guest, Tiani Hidalgo. Tiani's journey started with three major pivot points in her life where she felt depressed, lost, and torn between what culture, family, and society wanted from her versus what she was meant to do, her purpose. Not to mention severe burnout and pain working in corporate America with a negative mindset. Those moments were vital in creating what turned into a passionate drive to help infuse purpose and passion into people's lives and businesses. Cut to today, she's been coaching for over 10 years and supports working women to overcome burnout in work and life. That is amazing. Welcome to the show, Tiani.
Woo-hoo. That sounds awesome. Thank you so much. It sounds so much better coming from you.
Yeah. So could you tell our listeners today, you know, a little bit about your story, where you've come from, and how you got to where you are today?
Loaded question, but let's dig in. Yeah. So I mentioned three pivot points and it started when I was in college, basically, where, you know, you go to college. I went to a really good Ivy school, got into the engineering program. Wow. Turns out I hated it.
That's the worst.
Really hard to talk about to parents who, you know, are all behind you, supporting you, staff in the school who's all behind you, supporting you, and all your friends and all the jazz. And it was extremely, extremely difficult because I felt like I was the only one that was like not enjoying school, didn't want to be an engineer anymore. I wanted to completely turn the tide. And so I went through this really, you know, deep depression about, well, what the heck am I going to do with my life? Right. Yeah. And so I sought help. I went to a therapist. And so, funny story, the first session and the one and only session I had with this therapist, as I was talking about it out loud, I was like, I know what it is. I know what I have to do. I got to give myself permission to choose my life, right? I have to give myself that permission. And so that one session was all I needed to basically realize that it's my life and I have to choose and live it the way I want.
Right.
And after that, no more depression. I started making choices. I got out of engineering school. I started studying something else and I haven't looked back since. So
that's awesome.
That was back in, oh my gosh, let's just say the 90s.
Okay.
So I don't date myself. So that was one of them. But then the other one was in 2008 after I'd started working for corporate for, you know, over 8 years. And, you know, the economy was going kind of crazy, if you all remember. Okay. And I was going through a personal crisis where, again, I was like, what am I doing? You know, what is this job? I'm just not enjoying it anymore. What I thought I really liked, I just didn't anymore, because what I realized is that I wasn't really serving people at a deeper level. I was just really serving the company's bottom dollar. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So what I realized is that, again, I have to figure out a way to then do the things that I'm passionate about that also support people and help people and, like, you know, help them get better in their own lives. And at the time, I didn't go through depression at that moment, but I was definitely going through a whole lot of emotional pain. My back was hurting because I was lugging a heavy laptop to work every single day. And I just didn't want to wake up in the morning to go to work every day and go into the office. And I live in New York. So, you know, I live, you know, like 45 minutes from Manhattan.
Hmm.
So taking two buses and a train to work, to and from work, not fun, right?
No,
so
not
couple
at all.
That. Throw that on top. And so I decided to take a sabbatical for 3 months and figure out my life. And I mean, I feel super, you know, honored that I could even do that, right? I was able to take those 3 months off. Not everybody can do that. But after I did that, I started going to a chiropractor. I started, you know, doing the health work that I needed to do to get back on track for my own body and my own mental wellness. And I realized that I was asking more questions of my chiropractor than any other doctor I've ever talked to in my life. So he was like, are you sure you don't want to be a chiropractor? And I'm like, I don't know about that. But I ended up becoming a massage therapist.
Oh, there you go.
So I ended up coming back to work and kind of like going to night school and studying massage therapy. And the funny story in that is that I actually got laid off maybe a month after returning in 2008.
Wow.
But the money I got from the company, because, you know, back then they gave you a severance package.
Right.
That paid for massage school. So I'm like, okay, all right.
Nice.
Like, I'm on track. And I think the universe is supporting my journey right now. I mean, how often does that happen, right?
Yeah.
And so that kind of catapulted me into a world of wellness. And then in 2012, I went to another pivot point where I was like, great, I had a spa. You know, I had hired people. So I had people working for me. I was really helping people at a physiological level, at least, right? But what I realized is that it was very short-term gains, right? Because when people are on your table, you're serving their bodies, you're helping them and you're supporting them. But what helped more was the talk therapy that I was giving to them on the table.
Yeah.
And that was where I discovered all of the things that get trapped in people's bodies at an emotional, psychological level that I wasn't necessarily, I was addressing little by little because I was just talking to them and I love people and I love talking to people. But I kind of wasn't, I guess, you know, I didn't have the right degree for it, right? Or I wasn't trained in it per se. So that's when I got into coaching and I started combining the two. And so that turned into, you know, slowly the progression of where I am today, which is, you know, I help people basically understand their bodies, their all the bodies, right? Like their mind, their energy bodies and their physical bodies in order to start to recover from burnout and to recover from all the things that I had gone through way back from way before. So that's kind of where those three pivot points fit into my life. And, you know, I basically created several programs after that in 2012 and finally combined them into this one program I have now, which is all about burnout and empowering women, especially to overcome it and to become better in their own lives.
Yeah, that's amazing because burnout is real.
Oh, yeah.
Completely relate to that. I know, like for me, when I was working, I didn't work in like big corporate, but I worked, you know, in the small companies, as an office manager, admin, and the time you put in at these places and the try work downtown at one point in I live near Pittsburgh. So, and granted, I live 15 minutes from the city, but it would take an hour both ways, sometimes longer because you're just sitting in traffic and it's so tiring. Then you get there and it's stress and you're just trying so hard to keep everything together. Then all of a sudden you're just like, you just, like you said, you just don't want to go anymore. Like you just all of a sudden you just burn out. So what would you say would be, you know, some advice you would give people who are currently in that burnout stage to kind of help them get out of it to be able to be, you know, more on the positive side of things?
Absolutely. One of the main things I talk about with the people I work with, my clients, is that, you know, we've kind of given our power to doctors, to our parents, to our, even our, like, you know, our managers and other people in our lives. And so what we've done in essence is we haven't really looked inside ourselves and we have developed a lack of trust for the signs that we experience every day. So one day being, oh, I'm just a little tired in the morning can turn into I'm exhausted every single day, right? Lo and behold. Yes. But you don't really recognize that those things are happening because so-and-so said, oh, it's okay. Just take, you know, drink a cup of coffee. Oh, right. It's okay. Just take this pill. Oh, you know, like it turns into like a whole whirlwind of I'm taking 10 different things and now none of them are working. Why? Because you didn't really address the problem to begin with. And so it begins with self-trust, right? Really understanding yourself, self-discovery. I do a whole thing called human design where I take people through an understanding of, you know, what they came into this world with, the qualities that they came with, and also the challenges. And so that kind of helps them understand their personalities, why they do what they do, the times, you know, what happens and what it feels like when they're stressed out, what it feels like when they're actually in a good space, right? Like all the different signs and like elements of themselves that help them to live day to day. And that way they know that at any point, if I'm exhausted or if I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that, then I know that that goes against me and that goes, it's against my personality and it's against something that should really fit me, but it doesn't. And so therefore I need to move away from that. So I would say like starting to do a self-discovery, self-assessment, and understanding yourself first and what works and what doesn't, regardless of what everyone else is saying, is step one.
I love that. Yeah, because I know like we live in a world of shoulds, right? Well, you should do this and you should do that. And oh, you're feeling this way. So, oh, like you said, you should take this pill or you should drink more caffeine. Or, you know, then at the end of the day, it's like, well, now I'm adding all these chemicals into my body and I still don't feel right. So what is happening? And it's so important, like you said, to have that self-discovery moment where you just sit down with yourself, find a quiet space, right? And just, you know, really reflect on why you're feeling that way. What energies are coming into your life that are no longer serving you.
Absolutely.
And I liked what you said earlier too, about when you went to that therapist, like that one time you went and you said it out loud, there's so much power in that. So, you know, I would like to talk more about, you know, saying things out loud and how somebody maybe who feels alone, like, could you give advice on how to do that and how you found the courage to, you know, find that therapist and be able to speak these things out loud and figure out, you know, in doing that, what was actually going on, what you needed to do to move forward?
Yeah, it was tricky, right? Because I loved the people around me and I had a support system. But at the same time, I also knew that I wasn't sure if those people would support this particular thing, right? So I'm a big proponent of having a support system around you that really is on your side, but also be aware that not all of them are going to agree with everything that you do, no matter how much support they say they give you and how close they are.
So true.
So you really have to, again, you know, go inside yourself and say, okay, who are the appropriate people I can talk to about this thing? And certainly there's tons of support groups out there and places where you can go. But I'm a big fan of like energetic connections with people. So I know like when you and I started talking, we were like, yeah, and then this, and then yeah, and then that. So there was already like a vibe. My friend calls it sparkly people.
Oh, I love that. Have...
She's like, when she first met me, she's like, you were one of my sparkly people. I love that, right?
That's so cute. I love it.
But when you have that, it's like an energetic vibe that you have with people. And so you can find those people. I would say like search out those people that are your sparkly people that are really not just in your corner, but that you can even trust on things that they may not agree with necessarily. Because just because you don't agree with something doesn't mean that you can't support me.
Right.
So those are the kinds of people that you should reach out for support. I know for me, when in 2008, I didn't feel like I had anyone. So I had to go outside and look for a therapist to help me with that. And luckily I came to that realization while having that discussion with my therapist. And to this day, I'm a huge fan of going to therapy, but I'm also a big fan of going to coaching because it also depends on the kind of support you need. I always say that like the difference between a therapist and a coach is that a therapist concentrates 80% on your past and 20% on your future. And a coach is the opposite. They concentrate 80% on your future and 20% or less on your past, right? So it really depends on, you know, also how you want to operate and how you work and what's best for you for moving forward in your life. But also a coach is super beneficial to hear you out, to help you motivate yourself, to come up with tools, right? Because that's what we need. We have so many things around right now that don't necessarily involve medication, right? Yeah. That we can use that are tools that we can, you know, kind of carry on everyday life that support your journey as well. So definitely those people are helpful.
Yeah, that's powerful. You know, it takes a lot to, you know, it's embracing that fear of, well, I'm feeling this way and the people around me, I know they're not going to, you know, support me maybe, or they won't understand. Because I know, for me, like a lot of things that I've been through, you know, it was a lot of, you know, that shame. And I lived in that shame and fear and guilt for way too long. And it took me, you know, like you said, getting kind of like you're taking yourself out of yourself and looking at it from an outside perspective to be able to see, okay, like, these people, yes, I have friends. We go out, we do things together. I know they care about me, but I still need to find someone who I can talk to. And a therapist is a great option, especially if it's something that's a traumatic event. And then a coach is also great because you have to decide, you know, where, like you said, kind of which one where you're at, whether you want to dive into your past and figure out, okay, why am I, you know, feeling this way? Is it something that was triggered from a past trauma or something that happened to me? Or do I just want to focus on the future and get myself going in the right direction? Both help you do both those things. So it's kind of like a, yeah, you just got to do that assessment and figure it out. That's wonderful. And I would love to hear a little bit more about your program and what you offer, because I just think you're amazing. You're just an amazing human. And I would love for the listeners to hear more about that. That way, if they feel it's aligned with them right now, maybe they're feeling burnout and they could contact you and, you know, make that happen.
Sure. First, I just wanted to mention, because I know you mentioned shame.
Yes.
That was so huge for me in every single moment that I experienced each of those pivot points. Shame was so big.
Yeah.
And, you know, shame, I think, also comes from your own lack of understanding of yourself too, right? Because it's you judging yourself as well,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
So that was so huge in the way I was feeling every single time from an emotional perspective. So, yeah. So anyway, learning about yourself and discovering yourself and really owning who you are is so pivotal to really getting past that shame and that feeling of shame.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I'm sorry. Now that you brought up shame again, I just want to say something else. Yeah. That is so true. Like when you said that, like shame, like we think in our minds that other people, like, it's like, I would go around, you know, thinking, oh, like everyone knows I've been to jail. Everyone knows I've been incarcerated. Everyone knows I used to do drugs. Everyone knows this, that, or the other. And the reality is they don't. Like, you're literally, that shame is from within because you're judging yourself based on what you think other people may think of you. And it's not true, because I know from my personal experiences, when I came out with it, I was flooded with support. And I was like, oh, if I would have done this 10 years ago, you know? So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's,
and also you have to trust that not everyone is your enemy, right?
Yeah.
Not everyone is going to shame you too, right? There might be some people out there that are not going to be okay with what you did or your lifestyle,
right,
or whatever choices you're making. So what?
Yeah.
Right? There's going to be people equally that are. And those are the people that are your people anyway. Exactly. So those are the people you need to seek out.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's so true. Like, you know, people say, oh, you tell yourself, oh, these people are going to judge me. But the ones who do, they don't need to be in your life. If they have to be in your life, if they're family or something like that, just keep them at a distance, because you don't need that negative energy constantly in your life, because you don't deserve to be judged. Nobody does, period. Like, we've all
Absolutely.
Done things, believe me. So,
and doing bad things doesn't make you a bad person.
Right.
Also.
Exactly. It doesn't, because we've all, you know, and there's a story, you know, people that judge based on labels that society puts on us, like, okay, Amanda's a felon, so Amanda is not to be trusted. But you don't know the story. These people don't know your story. They don't know why you did it. So their judgment is very superficial. And then sometimes you'll see that once you tell your story, they might come around and say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have judged you based on that. Because there's always a story to be told. And that makes it make more sense to people. And that judgment starts to lower as well, I think. So. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love people's stories. I love hearing people's stories. So
me,
I appreciate you doing this program, because I feel like everyone needs to hear everyone's stories, because not everyone went from 0 to 100 and, you know, was wealthy, born wealthy and all these different things, right? People assume certain things about you, but it's not true. I mean, I'll just tell you something really quick. I was born in Dominican Republic and my parents were really poor. And when we came here to New York, like, we lived in Washington Heights in a one bedroom apartment.
Oh,
my
wow.
sister, me, my mom, and my dad. So we were like poor, poor.
Yeah.
So your typical immigrant story. But what we did have was that we were wealthy in heart and spirit, right? And my mom always supported me. She always wanted the best for me. My parents were extremely hard workers. So my parents had like multiple jobs. My dad worked in factories and he was a candy truck driver. I mean, he was a cab driver. He was the typical, like, you know, story of immigrants that come here. but he made it. Like, you know, he helped us live and we thrived because of their stories. So, you know, it's funny how people judge how you come to where you are, but they really don't know your history. And I actually feel extremely humbled that my parents came that way.
Yeah.
Because now I can support those people too, right? And I can understand their story. And I feel so, you know, loving of those people now, not judgmental, right? Like the complete opposite. So I embrace everyone's stories.
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, I know, like coming from, you know, now that you mentioned like you're poor when you're, you know, being brought up and how, you know, society, you know, you only see the shiny stuff. You only see, you know, oh, like this person over here, like she woke up and was a millionaire. Like, why can't I have that? You know, and that's just not the reality. We all struggle. And that's beautiful that, you know, your father, like just he made it work, you know, and that's what we all need to do. We have what we have. Be grateful for what you have, because there's people who have less than you. Yeah, there's people who have more, but we have to appreciate what we have and be able to embrace that and make it better how we can and move into the direction we want to be in. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And so actually that leads me to answering your question, because now that I talked about like busy, my parents were super busy. My mom is the epitome of the busyness syndrome, right? Like they worked multiple jobs. My mom just recently retired a few years back from being a teacher, but she was the epitome, not just of like, you know, the immigrant working super hard, but also what, you know, the US kind of sees as success, right?
All right.
So my mom worked until 2 a.m. every single night.
Oh, gosh.
And even then, like she, you know, requests the support of my sister and I to help her do some of the paperwork. You know, a lot of the stuff that teachers do now went online. My mom is not really versed in online. So
Yeah. There
was a lot of stuff that was going on. So she'd go to sleep at 2 a.m. every day, 5 hours of sleep. Four sometimes, six at best, right? So that kind of lifestyle, I mean, luckily she's retired now, but that is what a lot of people deem success, right?
Yep.
The more you do, the busier you are, the harder you work, right? Remember that Dunkin' Donuts commercial from way back? Time to get up, time to get the donuts,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I do.
I'm dating myself a little bit, but... But that is the epitome of how this country, and probably, you know, other countries and other people as well, but this country in particular is so proud of people being such hard workers. But now we're seeing the backlash of all that stuff happening, where people are at the hardest point in their lives because of things that are happening right now, but also just because of what we've been doing to ourselves for decades, right? How we've been living for decades. This isn't something that just happened overnight. People are more exhausted than ever.
Yes.
Coupled with what's happening today. So, you know, and I learned it as well from my parents. To be busy means success, you know, to work hard, mm-hmm. right? Not smart.
Right.
To work hard
hustle.
Means you're successful. Hustle. Yes. Oh my gosh. Especially in the coaching space, like hustle, 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 right? And that's exactly what's causing burnout right now for so many people. I love doing a lot of data research. So I was looking up the numbers and like 54% of people are stressed out at work.
Wow.
35% of people have a very hard time with work-life balance. I mean, there's a lot of big numbers. And then I think it was 76% of people feel burnt out.
Right. Wow. Now. That's huge.
Yeah. And so now even burnout is being considered an actual emotional ailment, like a psychological ailment, I mean.
Wow.
So it's no longer just like a condition. It's actually an ailment now. That's how bad things are getting. And actually, just recently, I saw an article across several places, Wall Street Journal, Forbes, and LinkedIn News as well, where they talked about how we've had the highest number of people quit their jobs since April.
Wow.
And so you want to put the pieces together, right? And if you're looking at putting the pieces together, you're wondering, why is this happening? Why are people now quitting their jobs and all these things are happening? Because we had a moment of stillness at home, right?
Yeah.
Where we were able to process and go within, right? Which we've been talking about since the beginning. It's so important to really understand yourself.
Yeah.
And so we had a little bit of that because we were home. And so now I think people are recognizing that maybe they don't want to work at an office anymore. Maybe they don't want to work that job anymore. Maybe they want to be entrepreneurs.
Yep.
Maybe, you know, like there's so many things. Maybe I don't want to deal with my terrible boss anymore.
Right.
Right. Maybe he stresses me out. Gee. So many pieces. Right. And so that's why I launched it this year. And I combined all my programs to do this because I felt like, oh my gosh, I had all the pieces, right? I combined the purpose coaching I was doing to help people get more in alignment with who they are and what they came here to do in this world. I combined a lot of the working women's coaching where I helped women really kind of understand more having work-life balance in themselves. And then combining that energy massage, you know, like that whole wellness piece to help people get their bodies on track, their psychology on track, their feelings and emotions and all that jazz. And all of that combined together helps you create sort of like a platform for building from there, right?
Yeah.
And creating a life that you love, but also having the energy to enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
Not just working hard, but playing harder.
Yes.
And enjoying life and like going out and doing things and not just working. You know, I know people who work like 100 hours a week sometimes. Yeah. It's just nuts.
It is.
Right? People just overextend themselves. And for what? For what purpose, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the work that I've been doing lately.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's so needed. You're doing wonderful things in the world. And I'm just so grateful to have you here to be able to share that with more people, because there's so many out there that, you know, they're working, you know, for myself too. Like I burn out because I'm trying to balance all the things, right? And how do you do that? How do you be a parent and have a day job, have be an entrepreneur, have a podcast, you know, do all these things and not burn out? It's hard work, but there is a way. And I love that you are helping people do that. That's very powerful. But to wrap this up, I would just love to ask you, you know, what is the number one tip you would have for our listeners today to be able to let the good things into their lives?
Well, in a world where everyone's moving at 100 miles an hour, I would say, you know, first step is to be still in yourself. And I think we've gotten a taste of that. But being still and really going inside and understanding yourself, truly, like what you love, what you don't love, what resonates, what doesn't. Relationships are changing more than ever these days. People are recognizing that I just don't want to hang out with so-and-so or so-and-so doesn't jive with me. And the only way you recognize those things is by being still and understanding what you love and like, and knowing your personal signs is what I say.
Yeah.
Understanding your personal signs that tell you when something's in alignment and something isn't. So being still, that's where it's at.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tiani. I really loved having you here on the show. And I just want to say to everyone at the end, you know, just remember you are stronger than you think, and you can have the life that you imagine regardless of your past. Make sure to hit subscribe or follow on the Let Good Things In show so you don't miss an episode. And I will talk to you all soon.